John chapter 4, we're going to, have you ever, I know a lot of you probably go the same route every day to work, right? You probably don't even notice some of the things you pass on your way to work or on your way to church, and it takes a visitor riding along with you to see something new. They may point something out, say, hey, do you see that? And you may say, wow, I didn't see that before. Well, this evening, I want to be that visitor in your car as we look at the woman at the well. At the woman at the well. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, a familiar story. I'm just going to read one verse. John chapter 4, verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. This evening we have another opportunity to serve you, God. Oh God, may you be honored, glorified, magnified, lifted up. May you do something this evening, oh God, that I cannot do. May you speak through me. May you use your word to glorify thy name. If there's somebody here that's not sure their salvation, may tonight be the night. If there's somebody here that's not sure, that just needs some help from you, Lord, may they receive that help this evening. Lord, may they leave changed, new, revived, renewed, restored for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The question is, what do you see? The title of my message is The Importance of Just One. The importance of just one. We all have a personal mission here in life. The importance of just one. Think about that. The question is, what do you see? What do you see when you drive down the road? Someone as, I don't know, a homeless person, a broken person, a sick person, a person in need. Someone who is in need, a need for money, for home. Do you see somebody, something helping with? Have you ever thought about this someone in need who you could help? What do you see? Ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation if you've seen somebody standing alongside the road with a sign? I believe we all seen that, haven't we? Have we all seen that? Help or homeless, please help, God bless. Do you just drive right past? Do you stop and give them a helping hand? The importance of just one. What is your mission this evening? There's a world outside of this church that needs you and me to show them the love of Jesus. Needs you and me this evening. Have you ever come across a homeless person? Are you praying for someone right now or thinking of someone right now that needs you to show the love of Jesus with them? If you're praying for someone right now, if you're thinking of some, did the Holy Spirit bring someone to your mind? Are you praying for someone right now? Is there just one person on your mind? If you're praying for that someone, I know we have prayer requests in church. We do at our church. Do you have any prayer requests this evening? I don't know if the pastor's ever asked you that. And there's so many times people have prayer requests. Can you pray for this person? For their salvation? Can you pray for that person for physical healing? Can you pray for that person for spiritual healing? Is this person in your mind? But can I tell you this? If you're going to pray this prayer, be ready to be part of that answer. Have you ever thought of that? Are you willing to be the part of the answer that God has for that person you're praying for? Amen. This is a message God's burned in my heart. I'm going to try to get through it. 4 weeks ago, God's brought my cousin back into my life who I haven't seen or talked to in 10 years. You can call him the black sheep of the family. I haven't talked to him or seen him in 3 years. He needed a ride. He's 34 years old. He just kind of drifts around from town to town. He's had a rough past. His dad died when he was only 37. He's a fellow that just needs somebody to reach out to him, somebody who just can't seem to get it right. He's a fellow. he's my cousin, and even though my family comes from a Christian heritage family, it seemed like he couldn't find any help. He was a black sheep of the family. We all knew his past. We all know his past. We know he jumps from town to town. He jumps from house to house. He's so unstable. But for some reason, he needed to go to Florida last 4 weeks ago when I went to Crown College. And somehow he ended up in my car. And we've been praying for him at church over and over and over again. He's put things on Facebook. He's done this and that, and he's made comments, and we pray that God will help him. Well, he fell asleep on the way down the road, and I'm shaking my head. Why is he in the car with me, Pastor? Why is he here? I'm going to Tennessee. I'm trying to serve the Lord. Little did he know, I prayed that God would. This was the first trip I took without my family, and I'm going to a college. I'm staying in a hotel by myself. I've heard so many things about. Do you realize you're not above the snares of Satan? You're not above the temptation that the world has to offer. It's so easy for us to fall into sin. I've heard story and story how pastors have slipped up going on these kind of trips. And I pray that God would. I asked a couple of different people, would you come with me? I really didn't want to go by myself. Because you never know. Satan's a deceiver. He's a liar. He'll fill your mind with things that you never, you're thinking, why in the world am I thinking that? Right. And that's what he was doing to me. And I prayed that God would bring somebody along. Where here comes my cousin. He's praying for somebody to help him. And he ends up being in my car 4 weeks ago. And the story doesn't end there, but what's going on here with some of the questions I asked God. Why he was napping right beside me. What's going on here? Is God wanting to test me? Sometimes God puts people in your heart for testing, a trial. Maybe he's putting somebody in your heart this evening, your mind this evening. Somebody's already asked you for help, but for some reason, maybe you know their baggage. Maybe you know their past, and you're thinking down deep, do I really want to go there? Do I really want to help them? Do we show the love of God with everybody that we come in contact with? So these are some things that I was asking myself. Maybe God knows your heart. He knows me and Jules' heart. He knows we're on a mission. And I wrestled with that. We were in a mission conference last week in Sardis Lake, Mississippi. And I thought my cousin was in Florida. He's texted me during the service. He said, "Cuz, I'm in Pennsylvania. Can we get together?" I said, "You almost beat me home." And God puts these things in our life because He knows the ones who're going to open up their heart to somebody. I'm not saying that me and Joel are above anybody else, but God knows our hearts. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we will do if we just surrender to him. And I was asking myself, here I am. I'm trying to save the world. I'll go anywhere for God. I'll go anywhere in this world to serve the Lord, to spread the gospel. How can I turn away my little cousin? How can I turn away this one person? The importance of just one. The importance of just one. Are you thinking of that? Here we have the story. If you take the word, here we have the story if you want to paint a picture of chapter 4 in the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. Previously in John, we see that John tells us that Jesus is the true light, the light of the world. In the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see that he is the Word of God. He is the true light. The first disciples came. We see that previously in chapter 1, we see Andrew. Andrew tells Simon, "We found him. We have found him, the one. We follow me." We see that Nathanael was trying to find him. We see the miracle at Canaan. Jesus overturned the table. because they were selling in the temple. We see the story of Nicodemus. We see the great verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Everlasting life was shown to us. So we see in Jesus, John the Baptist came on the scene. He baptized Jesus, and Jesus was baptizing. His disciples were baptizing, and the Pharisees came up and they questioned what Jesus was doing and kind of pushed him away. He went from Judah back to Capernaum, and Jesus was on a mission. The disciples were with him. Here we have the story of John in John chapter 1 of the woman at the well. This word "one," you could take the O. Jesus saw the importance of just one. Take the O out of one. It's an ordered. She was ordered to give water to him. We know the story. She obeyed him. The optimistic about who Jesus was talking to her. The optimistic about why. Why was Jesus talking to her? Why? The opportunity. Here we have the story of the woman. She was a Samaritan. She wasn't a Jew. When she met, it wasn't no coincidence she met Jesus at the well. And it wasn't no coincidence that they were by themselves. Amen. When they went for water, they usually went for water in the morning and in the evening because it was hot. This was at I believe it says the third hour of the day, the afternoon, when it was the hottest point of the day, she showed up at the well. And guess who was waiting for her? The Lord was. It wasn't, and not only that, she was by herself. And not only that, not only was it the hottest point of the day and that she was by herself, but since they had no dealing with the Samaritan woman, Jesus was talking to her. And this was against all custom too for a man to be talking to a woman. But the first point I want you to see is this. There was a need. There was a need for this one person. In verse 4 it says, "And he must needs go through Samaria." We see the first need here. A need to go. A need to give. A need to grow in her faith. There was a need. Matthew 6:26. Tells us this, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things." Verse 33 says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Psalms 37:4 says this, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." There's a need here this evening, folks. There's a need for this woman. She was a woman. We know her past. We know all of this, but a need for her sin to be forgiven in verse 16. In verse 16, we see this, and it says, "Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither." In verse 17, "And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly." This was... The more I study this out, this was actually the seventh man this woman saw. She had five husbands. The one she had was not her husband. This was sixth man. Jesus was the seventh man that she met, the number seven, the completion. Isn't that just how it is in our life? He's our final authority. He's the one that we need, amen? He's all we need. He's all you need this evening. He's everything and more. But we see her need for forgiveness. In verse 26, "Jesus saith unto her, That I that speak unto thee am he." So this was Jesus who was speaking unto her. She had a need. Be sure she had sin in her life. this sin, this past sin. She must have been if she was married that many times, it's hard to say. You can let your imagination run wild on this, but she had to have had some sin in her life to go through that many men. It says, the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Amen. We're like I said earlier, we're not beyond or above the snares of Satan. Psalms 38:18 says this, for I will declare my iniquities. I will be sorry for my sins. Are you sorry this evening for your sins? Repent. Have you repented? Have you returned from those sins that you may be hiding from other people? It's so easy to get caught up with the cares of this life and the sin of this world. Sin can drag you down. What are you thinking? As I think back on my cousin Robert, as I think back on him, as I think back on the things on this one person, the thought of one, the importance of just one. Are you thinking about that one in your life this evening? There's somebody in your life that needs you to take a step of faith. There's somebody that needs you to meet them at the well, just like Jesus met the woman at the well. There's somebody in your life that needs you to put it all aside and to say, I will help you. That one you're praying for, are you willing to meet them at the well this evening? She met Jesus at the well. She got the living. Jesus saith that unto her, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm thinking of another cousin I have that fell into addiction and drug and alcoholism. I'm thinking of this need that he had so many times. I'm just amazed how, I mean, every family, it seems like every family has somebody who needs help. Everybody has a family who seems like they need a little push along the way. This whole addiction and drug and alcohol addiction, the heroin is running rapid in our little town of Quarryville. The addiction, it's running rapid. And people need our help this evening, church. God's burdened me with this. We people need our help if we just open up our eyes and see. Who are you praying for? I pray that God will show himself real and send one to go and take his word and take his gospel. But we see the need. The woman had a need this evening. She had a need, and Jesus said, I needed to go through Samaria. I needed to go that way. The Samaritans didn't deal with the Jerusalem. They were the northern kingdom. Whenever the Israelites would go to Canaan, they would go up and around and bypass Samaria altogether. There was a need here. He had to go. Aren't you glad this evening that Jesus Christ, he shows up for the least of these? If you read throughout the Bible, he takes those that you would least expect it. He takes those that are in the deepest part of sin, and he takes their lives and he changes them around, and he uses them for his honor and glory. Amen. He uses them, and you can read it all throughout the Bible. The importance of just one. You think there's so many people you can think about this evening. You think about the man in John 5, the man at the pool of Bethesda, that one person. He had for 35 years he tried to get to the pool of Bethesda, and he made excuse after excuse why he couldn't make it to that well and get healed. But Jesus said unto him, he said, arise and go today you are healed, and it was a miracle. But God is so, he's so into just one person. You can read that throughout your Bible. So what do you see? What do you see around you? What's the importance of just one? We see the need. She had a need. Jesus had a need. to get to her, and she had a need to get to Jesus. Amen. So secondly, there was a giving. There was a giving this evening. In chapter 4, verse 7, we see there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. This is the first time we see this giving. Jesus asked seven times. I highlighted them throughout this story. Seven times we see giving being mentioned. The number of completion again. It's in verse 7. It's in verse 10. It says, give me to drink, and he would have given thee living water. In verse 12, it's in there, which gave us the well. In verse 13, Jesus said that I should give him. Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Aren't you thankful for that this evening, the everlasting life that Jesus offers us? It's a whosoever will, amen. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him drink from the water of life freely. It's a whosoever will, amen. It's a whosoever will salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's a whosoever will this evening. So there's a giving. There was a giving we see. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you thankful for that gift this evening? Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ, that God gave his son? Jesus, he was born of a virgin, amen. He came to this world. He lived a sinless, spotless life. He took on the punishment. They mocked him. They spit upon him. They beat him. He took our sins all the way to the cross of Calvary, where he died for you and for me. But aren't you glad he didn't stay dead? Amen. 3 days later, he arose, conquering death, hell, and the grave, victorious. And now he's interceding for you and for me, amen, on the right hand of God the Father. But there's a giving, and aren't you glad he gave his only begotten Son to us this evening? Jesus gave everlasting water in verse 14 and in verse 10. In verse 10 we say, And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Aren't you thankful this evening for the living water? Amen. That living water that flows constantly inside of our souls. Amen. It's everlasting. It'll never run dry this evening. Amen. He's given us. If you're saved this evening, you have that living water living inside of you and running. Jesus. We think of Mark 10, this giving. In Mark 10, Jesus asked, he talks to the young ruler, or the young rich man. In Mark 10, he talks to this young rich man. And the young rich man says this, or in Mark 10, verse 18, and Jesus saith unto him, or 17, and when he was going forth into the way, there came one. There's that word one, running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus saith unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Thou do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And this was the young man's answer. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. For Jesus beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one. Three times we see this word one, and I just read all three of them. Once in the 17th verse, once in the 18th verse, and once in the 21st verse. The word one, one thing thou lackest. What do you lack this evening? Examine your heart. Examine your soul. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Are you willing to give it all up? Are you willing to sell it all to follow Jesus? Are you willing to lay it all down for that one person you're thinking of this evening? That one person that needs you. Are you willing to lend a helping hand to the one that's closest to you and that needs the most help this evening? The one thing thou lackest. Take up your cross and follow me. Romans 12:1 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Galatians 2:20 says, what does it say? For I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a daily decision, folks. It's a daily decision to give oneself for the cause of Christ. It's a daily decision, and are you willing to make that decision this evening? We also see back here in Mark that there's something else that Jesus gave us that we should give to others. In Mark 12, verse 28, he gave us the great commandment. There's that word one again. And one of the scribes came and having heard these reasons together and perceived that he had answered them well, asking him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, one Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. We need to love God first and show the love that he's given us to others. And the second is like namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Are you forgetting about that verse 31, that second commandment? I know so oftentimes I may forget about that. To love your neighbor as yourself, to share the love of God. These are commandments. These are commandments that God has given us. He's not only given us some commandments, he's also given us some commissions as followers and believers of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it's found in chapter 16 of Mark, verse 15. And he saith unto him, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's just not a commandment to me, not a commandment to your preacher. That's a commandment to each and every one of us, a commission to each and every one of us to go out into all the world and to share the good news. What's the good news this evening? That Jesus saves, amen? He can change your life. He can renew you. He can restore you. He can revive whatever it is that may be kindling down deep inside of you. One person said, I just don't feel the presence of the Lord anymore. It's kind of like it's not as strong inside of me as it once was. It's kind of like being around a campfire when you're cold. If you want to get warmer, you get a little warmer. You get a little closer to the fire. Amen. If you get a little closer to the fire, you'll feel the heat coming off the flames, and that's how it is with the Lord. If your joy is being fizzled out, if your drive, your want to is being fizzled out, get a little closer to the Holy Spirit this evening, amen. Get a little closer to the Word of God. Get a little closer to your prayer life. Get a little closer to what the Lord has called you to and has a purpose and a plan for you in your life. Get a little closer to that. There's a giving that she did. There's a giving that we must do. She gave all of herself in her sin, but now she's about ready to give all of herself into her service. She gave herself into her sin life through all these husbands that she's had, but now she's given herself to the service of the Lord. She's found that living water, amen? She's gotten a taste of it. It's from the well that never runs dry. It satisfied her longing down deep inside of her soul. It satisfied that she got a drink from the living water. Have you gotten a drink from the living water this evening? Do you know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you asked Him to save you? And have you met Him at the well? Have you met Him at the well of everlasting life that'll never run dry? There's a giving this evening. She gave her life in service to God, a surrender. She shared the gospel, back the good news back in John. She became a missionary. I'm just a little overwhelmed to be standing behind this pulpit right now. It wasn't that long ago I stood behind the pulpit at Royal Retreat and preached, the same one where Pastor Ray Storr preached from. And I'm thinking about the sermon. I love them sermons. I'm sorry to take a little break, but the sermons you got put on your website, I listen to them going down the road, the Jubilee website, and I get to hear Pastor Stewart preach. And this is he said this comment. He said she went searching for a man at the well, but she didn't find that. She found a man that I know it's wrong, but it's the same idea. Anyway, she went searching for a man and found a man that she never thought she'd find before, and it changed her desires about man. And she went and left her water pot and she started telling others about what Jesus did for her, and that's what she did here. She started giving the gospel in verse 28. In verse 28 of chapter 4, and the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, come see a man. That's what she said, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She started a mission journey. She never had discipleship class. She may not have had a Sunday school class, a training program on how to disciple, but she just went out and started telling people about what Jesus Christ did for her. Amen. And that's all we got to do, church. You say, how do I witness for the Lord? Just go start telling people how good God's been to you and how He's changed your life and how He can do the same for them. That's all it is. I've heard that 95% of Christians aren't sharing the gospel, aren't sharing the good news with this world around us. That's one reason why the churches aren't spreading, aren't growing. It seems like they're growing around here. There's one on every corner, but up around Pennsylvania, it just seems like the churches are fizzling out, and it's just because we're keeping quiet. We're not sharing. We're not giving the good news. We're not telling others about Jesus. And that's something that I try to work on a daily basis. The importance of just one. Give the gospel to just one. Are you thinking of that one at your work? Are you thinking of that one in your family that needs a little bit of the love from God? What do you see? Are you thinking about that one? She gave. Jesus gave His life for me and you, amen? The importance of just one. God, I'm thinking of this song here. God gave His Son and His Son gave His life and beggars go free. Amen? We're beggars this evening, folks. God gave His Son gave His life and beggars go free. What are you begging for this evening? He set us free. He's paid your sin debt already, if you haven't noticed that. If you don't know that already, if you're not saved, your sin debt has already been paid, and He paid it on the cross of Calvary. It's up to you to accept that free gift. It's up to you to receive it. Thinking of that prodigal son, the importance of just one, back in Luke, in Luke 5, or Luke 15. Well, I'm thinking of the lost sheep. I'm thinking of that beggar, that song, I'm that beggar, I'm that lost sheep. This parable of the lost sheep we see in Luke 15:1, and a man of you having 100 sheep, if he lost one, there's the word one again, of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Aren't you glad when that one person comes to the realization that they need salvation in their life, that they're a sinner, that if they died right then and there, that they would split hell wide open. I rejoice every time someone gets saved. There was rejoicing in heaven. Jesus said he would leave the 99 just for that one lost lamb. Are you that one lost lamb this evening? He's here this evening. He wants to save you. He wants to give you a new life. He gave this woman at the well a new life. The prodigal son, he wasted everything he had on righteous living. He wasted everything that he got from his father. But he came back, and his father was waiting for him. His father was waiting, looking, waiting for his one son to return. And guess what? He returned. When he came to himself, he came to himself this evening. Is there a time in your life when you came to yourself? There was a time in my life when I came to myself, when I realized that this wasn't direction God wanted me to go. This wasn't the plan God had for me in my life. I came to myself, and I said, Lord, I surrender it all to you. Do you need to surrender it to God this evening? The importance of just one. Who are you thinking of this evening? She went and told. What did she tell? She told the good news of Jesus Christ. Who does she tell? The rest of the people in the village. Where does she go? Back to town. When did she do that? Right away. Amen. She didn't waste any time. She went back. How does she do it? She just went and said, come see a man that told me all things I've ever done. Is this not the Christ? That's what she said. And because of that, they all came and they saw for themselves. This world needs compassionate Christians, caring Christians, concerned Christians. They need real Christians. Those that are sold out to God. Those that are real. Those that are willing not only to go across the world in worldwide evangelism, but those that will go across the street to lend a helping hand. Those that will go across the town or go across the parking lot or stop at a corner and just say, I'll help you. Let me help you. Let me give you this or that, or let me do what I can to help you on your way. I know somebody who can help you if you can't. That's one thing too. Her past, she put her past behind her pride behind her problems behind her. All of this she put behind her, the woman at the well did, to give the gospel, to give the good news that he is here, the Messiah. He's talked to me. He's here this evening. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you this evening. And he wants you to share that with just one other person. There may be tests, there may be trials in our lives, but they're there so we can grow. Are you thinking of that one person this evening? What are you willing to do for that one person? As I think about my cousins, the ones that overcome drug addiction and alcohol addiction, just because we didn't give up on them. We kept praying. I believe God heard our prayers and answered our prayers, and they knew that they had loving grandparents that prayed for them, loving parents that didn't quit praying for them, a loving family that didn't quit praying for them. Don't quit praying for those in your life that need you to keep praying for them. And don't be afraid to be that answer. To help. If God wants to use you to be that answer, don't be afraid to take a step of faith. Consider the cost, amen. Consider the change. What can we do for Jesus? How can we reach that one person? Jesus reached that one person at the well that he needed to go get to go to. He needed to go through unfamiliar territory. He needed to get to that well where this woman was so that his gospel could continue to spread and his love could continue to grow. So who is it in your life this evening that needs the love to grow through you? The importance of just one. Think about it as we close. If you want to stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time that we've had to gather together. and break open the word of life, the bread of life, the everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, that you've never given up on us. Thankful that we have a gospel that we can share. The good news, thankful that your love dwells within us and we can share it to a lost and dying world. May we not forget that. May we not forget that we are your mouthpiece, that we are your hands and your feet on this earth. And we're called and we're commissioned and command to spread that love to a lost and dying world. If there's one here this evening, Lord, that says, preacher, there's somebody in my life, somebody in my family, somebody at work, somebody I need to pray for. Lord, may they bring that burden, that care to the altar. May they cast it at your feet. May they leave it here and go away healed, free, and on fire for you. Lord, we love you this evening. Thank you for loving us. If there's one that's not saved, may tonight be the night for salvation. May they not walk out these doors without receiving you, accepting you as a personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.